Hello, and welcome to our conversation about using ground source energy. I am joined by Celia from GNS Science and Yale from GeoExchange, who have both kindly offered to help me understand ground source energy and how it can be utilised in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Whilst I know very little about ground source energy and the associated heat pumps, I do know that governments across the world are seeking sustainable energy sources that are renewable, reliable, and secure. In addition, I understand the New Zealand government is currently pursuing improved housing standards with the Healthy Homes Initiative. Celia, please could you provide a little more detail about why the Healthy Homes Initiative is required?
Well, unfortunately for New Zealand, we've historically had a really poor record with the quality of our homes. There's been an underinvestment in insulation and heating and ventilation and moisture control for our homes for many, many decades. The way that we are trying to turn this trend and improve the quality of our housing has been through the introduction of the Healthy Home Standards in 2019. So we're hoping that that's going to raise socioeconomic indicators across a whole different host of wellbeing metrics within New Zealand. And just generally, if your home is well heated or has good thermal conditioning, that improves your productivity as an individual as well. So it's a new policy that's come into place, but probably long overdue.
Thank you, Celia. I understand that ground source energy is one of the technologies that can help Aotearoa New Zealand achieve the heating and cooling standards set out in the Healthy Homes Initiative. But Yale, what is ground source energy exactly?
Ground source energy is something that's really familiar to New Zealanders. It's basically that thermal energy that's stored within the ground or even large bodies of water. When we look to use that in buildings, we use it either directly or indirectly. Direct use is mostly what New Zealand's used to. It's a geothermal pool. When we're talking about the indirect use, that's where we're talking about what we call ambient ground or water temperatures. So in New Zealand, that's typically about 10 to 20 degrees. And that's when those ground temperatures are maintained by just solar radiation from the sun. In this instance, think of like a cave or a wine cellar. There's a constant stable temperatures all year round. And with these systems, we look to use a heat pump on them. So rather than using that temperature directly, we need that heat pump so that we can either increase it or decrease it for when we're either in heating or cooling mode.
I know lots of homes currently use air source heat pumps, but do ground source heat pumps differ significantly?
So both systems are heat pumps. They've got a compressor refrigeration cycle. All that is the same. Even the way they deliver heat and cold into your building is the same, whether that's hot air, cold air, or hot water for hydronic heating system. Main difference between the two is just where they source their thermal energy from.
What I was going to ask is, typically with an air source heat pump in New Zealand, we have a heat pump in the lounge and we're not necessarily heating the rest of the home. One of the benefits, and this is a question, one of the benefits I've understood is that by having a ground source heat pump and a heat exchanger, there's more efficiencies to heat the entire home rather than just the one outdoor unit to one unit inside. Is that true?
Yes, that really just comes down to how you design the system into the house. For example, we've had owners where we've put in a new ground source system and they've even said, we spend as much money as we used to, but now we're heating the entire home and we're not running from one warm room through all the cold corridors to the far end of the house into the warm bedroom anymore. So it makes it more affordable to heat the entire home.
But I think this is an interesting point when you address New Zealanders' energy behaviour. We typically don't have central heating. That behaviour is also being forced to be shifted with the Healthy Home Standards. And I think ground source heat pumps actually provide a unique solution or opportunity to be explored by having more efficient central heating in New Zealand.
Gotcha. So yeah, extending that heating out to other areas, particularly sleeping areas, obviously has directly aligns, if you like, with the intent of the Healthy Homes program.
Yeah, it does.
So it's clear to me that ground source heat pumps can help ensure homes meet these new standards and should be considered as an energy option in Aotearoa New Zealand's energy future. But are ground source heat pumps a new technology, Yale?
Look, yeah, definitely not a new technology. Yeah, even since like the 1850s was the first concept of one. And the first working examples are kind of looking at 100 years or so now. The industry itself really started developing kind of through the 70s and 80s. Here in New Zealand, some of the first systems were in like about 15 years or so ago, 20 years ago. You would have got some of those very, very early sort of pioneers of the industry.
So would I be correct in saying ground source heat pumps are an established energy solution that could be used across New Zealand?
So yeah, look, exactly. The main benefit of the ground source heat pump approach is it can be used pretty much anywhere. It's just about getting access to the ground or the water body so we can utilise that energy.
And so I'm going to jump in here and just say that we've got examples in existence right across New Zealand. Christchurch Airport, that is heated and cooled by a ground source heat pump. In Wairaki near Taupō, the 19th hole, the clubhouse, is actually fed by a water feature using a ground source heat pump. So we're not limited by geography in this country at all. I've got North and South Island examples there.
And what about globally? Where else in the world are ground source heat pumps currently being used?
Generally, anywhere where there is heating and cooling demand. But I think a really important and interesting example for New Zealand is what's happening in Norway, where Norway is similar to New Zealand in that its electricity grid is sitting very high in renewables. They also have hydroelectricity. They have had a real move to using ground source heat pumps because the price of electricity is rising there. But they've got similar issues to us in which, as we electrify everything, for example, moving from fossil fuel cars across to electric, it puts a lot of demand on the grid. So Norway is having to make considerations around how to be electricity efficient, and ground source heat pumps are really supporting them in that endeavour. So there's a lot of public buildings and district heating schemes which are connected to ground source heat pump there. So not just a decarbonisation story, it's an energy efficiency and home heating affordability story as well.
I assume the increased energy efficiency will also lead to energy savings. Is that correct, Yale?
With a lot of those energy savings, and because we're using those constant temperatures, we actually reduce the amount of electrical infrastructure required to a site. On a larger development, that can be, you know, significantly smaller substations, transformers, things like that, which can have obviously a large savings for the developer and the development themselves. Even things like if you've got solar on your roof and your heating and cooling is a large driver of your requirements, by using less electricity for heating and cooling your home, you will operate and maintain that home within the budget, let's call it, of that solar PV for much longer periods of time. So you get this significant sort of cost saving from that because you're going to the grid for power a whole lot less often than you would normally have to.
And would ground source heat pumps affect the aesthetics of a development?
Ground source heat pumps don't sit outdoors. Everything sits either underground or inside the building. Because we don't have that outdoor equipment, things like the building aesthetics or development aesthetics can be vastly improved. So we suddenly start to provide all this design flexibility, which can really help enhance any development with that.
Do ground source heat pumps therefore have a longer lifespan?
Yeah, you no longer have a heat pump sitting outside in the sun, in the pollen, in the dust, the salt air, etc. You know, that equipment lasts a lot longer. So we're talking about a heat pump now that's going to be something like an average life of 25 years, whereas most air source heat pumps are somewhere around the 10 to 15 years. So you're getting a lot more out of that. And then when we talk about that ground heat exchanger, that infrastructure we actually put in the ground, like we expect that to be there for 100 years. So we get to the point now where just every 25 years, you take out your heat pump, you put in a new one, and the ground heat exchanger just keeps ticking along and doing its thing.
So it seems ground source heat pumps make sense from an energy savings and design point of view. But what about the regulations? Are ground source heat pumps affected by the strict regulations that govern direct use of high temperature geothermal energy?
Yeah, really interesting question. I wouldn't say that ground source heat pumps have the same regulatory considerations as direct geothermal use, or you mentioned hot temperatures there. It is considered slightly differently. The regulation process does depend on which region you are in. There are differences between our regional councils on that, but essentially whatever installation you're doing with your development will have to go through a resource consent process, and the level of detail or engagement required with your local body is totally dependent on the complexity of the design. Perhaps, Yael, you might want to talk about the differences in designs and how that might affect regulation.
Yeah, look, absolutely. One of the main differences here is that we have actually two types of ground heat exchanger. One's called an open loop, which is where we take groundwater out of the ground, we pump it up through a heat exchanger, we put it back into the ground again. That system operates pretty much like a water boil. So there's a water boil licensing element to that. When we do our closed loop systems, which is where we actually put a heat exchanger in the ground, that one bypasses, if you like, the sort of stricter regulatory requirement because you've got a closed loop sealed system.
And are there any physical limiting factors? Most areas in Aotearoa, New Zealand, have suitable ground temperatures, as far as I'm aware, but does this mean ground source heat pumps can be used anywhere in the country?
The main thing is that you've got to be able to get access to the ground or the water body. So if you're in like a high rise inner city sort of arrangement, could be difficult. It's not said that it can't be done, but it depends on what's under there. And so your specific local geology and hydrogeology or the groundwater conditions play a part there. And that's where there needs to be that understanding of local conditions.
Yeah, and maybe it's worth also considering the demand side. So the changes in seasons, how much cooling demand is there, how much heating demand is there. And I think that all factors into the design as to whether considering ground source heat pump is the right option for the development that you're looking at.
You've mentioned a wide range of different considerations, both above and below ground. Is there a point at which all of these considerations align, making a ground source heat pump the ideal energy option for a particular site?
Really good question. That sweet spot concept is kind of the question we get asked all the time. It's like, how do we just know if it's the right thing to do? It depends, because there's a lot of factors that come into play here, from energy cost to energy usage to the building itself, so how well insulated is the building, etc., through to the cost of running the system and how often the system gets used with the local ground conditions and everything else. So we've got a lot of things that we need to consider there. But what I think becomes interesting because of that is that quite often just one component can be strong enough to make it work. For example, where outdoor plant and equipment is really noisy, it's impacting people, and rather than putting all these acoustic attenuation on the system or doing something else, you go with a ground loop and it makes sense. So while we've got lots of things to consider, so it complicates that initial feasibility, almost in most climates and environments, we've had applications go ahead or installations go ahead because there's been something that stood out that's really made it something that, you know, is just the right thing to do.
Thank you both for answering my questions. Do either of you have any final comments you'd like to finish with?
When you look at the challenge we've got as far as decarbonisation and the move that we've got for electrification within New Zealand, we can't put all our eggs in one technology basket. So the importance of this conversation is just raising awareness around the role that ground source energy could play within New Zealand. We're not advocating that it is the panacea, that it should be used everywhere and for every application, but it just that it should be part of our distributed energy mix.
My main thing about it is we just get people to understand that there's like a different way of doing things and then start thinking differently about the way they're approaching their building and then, of course, their heating and cooling. So integrating things like comfort into the building early always provides a better result. That's both in terms of the capital cost, in terms of the running cost, in terms of the comfort levels, design features, everything. And that comes back to the, you know, to look at the healthy home sort of scenario as to why that's becoming important.
Thank you, Celia and Yael, for sharing your knowledge with me. To summarise our conversation, the world is looking for more sustainable energy solutions, and New Zealand consumers are demanding better quality home heating and cooling options. The government's new Healthy Homes initiative provides an opportunity to consider different technologies. Ground source heat pumps use ground source energy, a local sustainable energy source, to provide both heating and cooling year round. Most areas of New Zealand have suitable ground temperatures, and whilst the site must be assessed for physical suitability, this technology is already being used widely across the country. These current changes in consumer demands provides an opportunity to consider ground source heat pumps for new and existing developments. Thank you both again for joining me for this conversation.
And the more we can have these conversations, the better. So if anyone listening is wanting to hear more, we've got plenty of material, we've got case studies, we've got projects underway, and lots of different applications. So it would just be really cool to continue chatting about it.
If you would like any further information about ground source heat pumps, the resources mentioned there by Celia are available on the GNS Science website at www.gns.cri.nz. Thank you again for listening to our conversation today.